Welcome back to an episode of Be Here for a While. Today's episode of Be Here for a While is brought to you by Kenko Smoothies. They're awesome. Listen, I drink them on the go when I go hiking. You're going to love them. And they're like, you know, giving me the healthy fruits. And I'm going to tell you about them later. Why am I telling you about them now? This isn't about them. It's about you. Well, actually, it's about Sarah. So this is the second part of the two-parter on Sarah's story of being engaged to a sociopath. I'm going to keep this intro super short. I just want to say that it may seem like a little choppy and confusing kind of around the time that you hear the ad because I had asked her a very important question later in our interview that needed to be placed into the first part. So yeah, like if it just sounds like a tad, I don't think it's going to sound that off. It's just going to sound like we jumped subjects. But yeah, so without further ado, I just want to get up for Sarah, who is so funny, so beautiful, so inspiring, and she's doing great things with her life. And she is an every woman. She's like all of us who have encountered some shitty people in our lives. And I think it's very validating to hear someone else's story and their truth. So this is part two. It gets really crazy. Really crazy. So anyways, without further ado, get up for Sarah.
And by then I wasn't myself. And I see that now. And mm-hmm. I took her word for it. And I shouldn't have, but by now, like my relationship with my fiance was such that he was so smart. And he could talk his way through anything.
Yeah.
And if I would question something, he would always go, oh, babe, no, oh my gosh, no, that's not at all what happened. And I'd be like, wait, what? I was there. But he would give me just enough truth in a situation, but then tell me, but you misinterpreted it. So this is what happened. You saw it wrong. And I would go, oh, shoot. That I kind of stopped trusting my own sense of reality.
Yeah. That's so, gaslighting. That's trying to confuse you. Yeah.
Yeah. And he would give me just enough of the truth that I wouldn't be able to say, no, you're crazy. Like you're trying to make me feel crazy. I would go, okay, well that did happen. So anyway, by now that had been happening so much that I didn't really have my own like footing anymore. So when Kimmy would tell me something stupid, like that's not biblical, I would be like,
Oh, I was going to say, but I wanted you to finish your sentence. Go ahead.
Okay. When she would say something like, that's not biblical, I had already had my fiance telling me that I had misunderstood the Bible so much mm-hmm. that I just stopped. I had questioned everything that I had thought that I knew about scripture. So when she would tell me that's not biblical, I just believed her.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'd be like, I'm sorry, scripture and verse, please. Like, can you give me the reference? Pretty sure that's not anywhere in there. Yeah. You know, but by then he had broken down with really brilliant sounding explanations, even just foundational, simple, basic stuff that I wouldn't have thought anybody could have, you know, changed for me. He had managed to change. So mm-hmm. I was just at the point where I would take anything.
Yeah. Well, additionally, some people do. I mean, like my other podcast is about, it's called Seven Deadly Sinners, and it's taking down false prophets and televangelists and the bad people and cult leaders or whatever. And I actually didn't realize how similar it is to some of the stuff that Tiffany covers, but mine's different. It's a little scarier. It's like preachers who've like murdered a priest and murdered a nun. Anyways.
I'm going to be subscribing.
Thanks. But one of the things I keep reading is like, and some of these like false prophets, televangelists that get like Jim Baker or whatever. Later, he was like, he admitted at one point where he was like, yeah, I would just read like one line in the Bible. He's like, I never actually read the Bible. I would just like read scripture. And then I would just interpret the words to use what I wanted to say. Like, so even if they had quoted a scripture, they could have just been like, no, actually, this is what it means. This is the interpretation that you're not getting.
Yep. They would take one line out of context, but be so convincing about it that they could tell you it meant something the opposite. And mm-hmm. look you straight in the eye. And if you don't have a really, really solid, you know, it's not like I knew the original Greek or Hebrew of everything. Mm-hmm. So I'd go, oh, well, he's in seminary, so I'm not.
And he's really saying it with conviction. I mean, I don't have the energy to do that with anything that's I don't think is true. So,
right.
Okay.
He must know that he knows this is a battle I'm not equipped to fight, you know?
Yeah. So when did, the question I was going to ask you earlier, when did Kimmy, I thought that was one of the weirdest things about her personality that came in, where she was telling you like how to lose the, and by the way, you look underweight almost to me, like not underweight, but you know what I mean? Like you're like very fit looking. Like when she'd start to tell you like, no, but you can lose those last 5 pounds. Like when did that come in? And then her sending you a photo of like some bikini model he allegedly dated. And
yeah, he managed to get a lot of bikini models. It's wild. I don't know where he finds them. If he like,
I found him. I'm shocked. If that's true.
I mean, you said it. So I was like, there's like some secret. I don't, anyway. So this was when we were getting closer. I think I want to say it was February, because in my mind, I remember thinking, okay, how much time do I have to work out and see if this is possible? So at this point, yeah, it must have been around February, March-ish, maybe even, I don't know, April. And she was texting me about the honeymoon, and she was like, oh yeah, you ready for sexy time, you know, on the honeymoon? And I was just like, and by now my roommates were even like, are you, you know, they would notice me on the phone a lot in the kitchen or whatever. And they go, is that Kimmy again? And I was like, I was getting exhausted. I was like, yes, it is. And they're going, and they kind of looked at me like, you know, you have an out, you don't have to talk to this person. And I don't even know why I still was. I was kind of uncomfortable with her, because she was crossing this line from being sarcastic to just kind of, she would put me down and she would give a lot of like backhanded compliments and stuff. So I started feeling like I would have to justify or talk my way through a lot of things with her. Or I found myself on the defensive when it came to my parents a lot. And she started really changing the way that I saw my parents' actions and kind of reinterpreting them for me. And also just saying insulting things about my friends, or just highlighting little aspects of their lives that weren't a bad thing, but she would paint it in a bad light and just be like, well, that's not how the rest of the world works. I'm sorry, you guys are all in your 30s and you can't afford rent alone. You're all living together. And just, you know, stuff like that, that now I'd go, yeah, because we live in California.
Yeah,
and that's just, and what, you know, costs. Yeah. But at the time she was just like, why don't you guys all have careers by now that can, you know, support blah, blah, blah. So it's just a lot of like crap mixed in there. So she's asking me just about, you know, honeymoon stuff, and I'm kind of on the defense. And she says something about, have you gotten rid of the cellulite yet for the honeymoon pics? So the reason that struck a chord was because, spoiler, I have cellulite because I'm a female.
Who among us doesn't?
And I have hips. God forbid, shocker.
Hey, try having it on your stomach. That's where I get it out of the way.
Yeah. Pretty sure I was born with it.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, dang it, like she's reading my mind. Cause even though I know it's normal, mm-hmm. I honestly, I wish I didn't have it. And I had always wondered if there was a way that I could get rid of it, but I was just like, well, it is normal, you know? And even when I felt like I looked my best or was my smallest size or whatever, it was still there. And I thought, well, I could have put in the extra effort to see if it would go away, but I also like life. I like to eat. I like to, you know, not be obsessed mm-hmm. with trying to get rid of, you know, little things in my body Same. That are just natural. So Same. Whatever.
If I have it, I probably deserved it. I ate yeah. things.
I earned it. Yeah. This is my
hard.
Own doing.
I worked hard at it.
I'm not willing to change my lifestyle that much to get rid of it. But she kind of struck a nerve in me, because then it made me think maybe my suspicions that it's not that attractive are real. Like I'm just being really like vulnerable right now. Cause you know, mm-hmm. you tell yourself it's normal, but still I'm like, but would I be happier without it? Yeah, maybe. Even though yeah. that's an unrealistic expectation, you know?
But so when someone, she said that. Someone is telling you that too. That is as strong as you can be in your own, you know, self-confidence. Like when someone's telling you that, even if you hear, you know, girlfriends talk about those things around you. Sometimes I will hear people talk about things that like, I don't necessarily care about, or I've gotten over. And then I'm like, oh, should I care about that? Is that?
Yeah. Something?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, great. Now I'm going to have to work through this again. Just yeah. when I become like, okay with it, and accepted it.
Totally.
And so when she said that, I remember where I was in my apartment. I kind of felt like this heat rising in my face. And I was just like, oh bitch. And I'm trying to keep myself level, and I'm taking deep breaths, and I'm going, okay, anything I say in this conversation is probably going to be screenshot and sent to my fiance. And that's just like the fleeting thought I had. So I was just like, stay level, don't go postal. and see maybe where she's coming from before you rip her to shreds. Cause I kind of wanted to get down to like, okay, are you just being a bitch? Cause if you are, I'm about to absolutely murder you. But yeah. if you are just kind of a broken person and anyway, so I said something like, hey, you know, my doctor told me, you know, that my ideal weight or whatever for my size is like 145 or 140. And I think I was pretty close to that, maybe like 150. And I said, but even at like, even when I was closer to that, I still had it. And she was just like, oh girl, no, I've seen your pictures or seen the pictures or something like that. She said 5 pounds doesn't make enough of a difference or something. I'd have to go back and look at it. And she was just like, get yourself down to 125 and you'll see that shit leave you be. That phrase I'll never forget.
That's like close to 30 pounds or 25. That
and I was that already would make, like that normal would make, looking.
That would make you look like you were dying.
I remember when I had mono one time, like years ago, and I think I got down to like 140, 135. And my mom was like, cause you could see my bones. They were sticking out. And my family is all like, I'm a bigger framed girl. Cause my, you know, my family is all like, they're tall.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So yeah, if I was 125, I would be ill.
Yeah.
I would look.
No, say I'm big boned. I'm not tall, but like, and I think that no one would ever guess that I weigh what I weigh just because, but I'm just my bone. I have like large bones and I'm very muscular. Yeah. And like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can't just like pin a weight on someone. Like I think that the lowest I ever weighed at like 5'4", 5'5", whatever, and was like 118. I looked like I was dead. Like I literally looked like I was dead. Like and I did not eat to get to that point in college at a certain point. And I literally people came up to me and they were like, something's wrong with you. I'm like, yeah, probably.
That's not sustainable.
Yeah.
Your body was in starvation mode.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. Tack another 20 pounds on and I look normal now.
Right.
Yeah. And but yeah, looking that's back, such a weird thing to say.
And like looking at her pictures too, that I would get, you know, I finally asked my fiance, I was so upset. I remember that day, just, I went into a rage. And I remember going to the gym and thinking, I'm not doing this for them. I'm not doing this for anybody else. I just have to see now, like, it's just like this mental thing I have to prove to myself. I have to see how, like really honestly how thin I can get. Kind of thing. I've got to see this and it's my wedding and I've got to figure this out. So I hit the gym twice a day and yeah, I mean, I lost more weight, but obviously was miserable. And I remember I asked my fiance after that point, I think I texted him right away and said, hey, is Kimmy healthy? Like, is she okay, you know, emotionally? And he was just like, why do you ask, you know, kind of thing. And I was like, well, she said a couple things and I told him and I said, does she have like body hate issues? And he goes, oh, like major body hate issues. And she had some kind of eating disorder, you know, way back. And because her pictures, like she was very, very thin. But what surprised me was he never spoke negative of them up until now. He was always like, just spoke super highly. And then when he knew that I was really upset and I was asking some serious questions, that's when he started to go, oh yeah, like they're pretty dysfunctional, you know, honestly. I'm kind of like, I wouldn't even call them super close friends. And I was thinking, oh, well, damn, wish I knew that all this time. And yeah. I don't even know why I felt obligated to maintain a friendship with them. But now that it was clear to me, okay, she's not a good person and he's not even all that close with them. I'm just not going to talk to her anymore. I don't have any reason to, you know, stay close.
Yeah.
Which was weird in of itself. And so she would reach out to me every once in a while. She went kind of quiet for a while, but I think it was a week later, she said something like, hey girl, so my husband told me that, you know, I might have been a little bit harsh in our last conversation. She never apologized. She never said, I'm sorry. She just said, my husband told me I was a little bit harsh and that you took it wrong pretty much. And that, that was a sensitive area. Yeah. And I remember her telling me stories all the time about how, I remember one time I was really pissed. I mean, I was furious because my ex corrected me on something. I don't remember what it was. And by corrected me, it was basically like disciplined. Like I had said or done something and I don't remember what it was, but I was livid. And Kimmy texted me out of nowhere and said, like, basically, hey boo, heard you're upset. Rumor has it you experienced him correcting you today or something like that. And I was like, what? She goes, yeah, you know, to be honest, when Brian would do that with me at the beginning of our marriage, I would really push back. And I'm thinking, what is this whole lifestyle of like a husband correcting, you know, their wife? And she said that, yeah, whenever I would, like when she would go off or do something that wasn't like biblical, mm-hmm. wasn't godly, he would chastise or correct her mm-hmm. and like put her back in her place, and she would fight against it. But ultimately it was for her own good.
Yeah.
Hearing these words come out of my mouth, it just sounds like total insanity.
Yeah.
But this didn't come out until.
Sounds like abuse. I mean.
That's what, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember when this pattern was starting to develop, where when my ex would say something that I would disagree with, I rarely ever get in arguments. I just don't have the energy to argue with people. Mm-hmm. And if I would just straight up question or disagree about something that happened, or he would say, well, you said blah, blah, blah. And I would go, no, I didn't. No, I was there. And he would be like, babe, and he would just laugh. And he'd be like, no, we were standing in Ulta or Sephora, you know, whatever. And you said this, and I said this. And I'd say, no, you said this, and I said that. And then the employee, whatever. And he would go, no, no, no. So he would work me up to the point where now I'm upset. Mm-hmm. I'm freaking out because I feel crazy. And I'm going, I'm not mad at him at all. I'm just going, what the heck? No, like what? And he'd go, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he would put his hands up and he'd be like, you're getting really defensive. Like, this is very forceful and you are trying to bulldoze me right now. You need to calm down. And this is like borderline abusive pretty much. And I'd be like, what? Just like my head is spinning now because I didn't know that I was silencing him. I was just trying to figure out up from down, you know, left from right. Yeah. So we were getting to this point where then whenever I would question something or we'd be in the car having a conversation and he would remember something differently than I would find myself going quiet and thinking, well, I don't want to sound argumentative or I don't want to sound mm-hmm. crazy. And we would be like in our house that we rented together in Sac, that he was living in the house and then I was living it still with my roommates, and we were going to move in together after we got married, but we were in the house like putting stuff away or setting stuff up. And he said something and I didn't push back, but I just disagreed. And he said, you're doing it again. You're doing it again. He said, you have this habit of if someone sees something differently from you, you will wear them down and wear them down and wear them down until you feel that you have made your point enough that they acquiesce and they acknowledge your position. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that I did that. And the really crazy, like sinister thing here is that I don't know how he knew to do this, but he struck a nerve of way back with my siblings when I was super manipulative sometimes as an older sibling. And so yeah. I would have my younger siblings totally doing my bidding, like shamelessly.
That's what my older sister did, that stuff to me all the time. That's what older sisters do.
On behalf of older siblings, I'm sorry, but it is kind
of, yeah.
It's just like par for the course. It's a rite of passage. There's a certain level of like abuse you have to just take from us.
Yeah. It is what so it is.
I knew that with my siblings, like when they would, like specifically my sister, when she would argue back on some stuff, I would kind of just like refuse to back down and refuse to back down until I got my way, knowing sometimes that I was wrong, but I just did not care.
Really has nothing to do with him though.
No, or my entire adult life. I hadn't done that since like junior high, but it's creepy that he knew to pull that out somehow and say, you have this habit of doing things. So he told me one time in the house, he's like, next time you do that in public, do you want me to correct you publicly or wait until we're alone in private? I cried. I just broke down because I thought, I am such a mess. How is he even with me right now? How does he have like the grace for my just bullshit? Yeah, it's crazy. And then once I just kind of, I literally just broke down because number one, I still didn't fully understand what he was saying. But number two, I knew that somehow I was bad and I hate being bad. I didn't know how to fix it. So out of just total confusion and at the end of myself, I burst into tears and I feel stupid because I'm crying and I hate crying. So he comes up to me and he's just like, oh, babe, you know, big old bear hug. And now he turns into the savior where he's like, I'm going to help you through this. This is why I'm here for you. We're going to get through this together. I am here so that I will lay down myself, you know, so that you can become the best version of yourself that you can be. So we're going to work through this basically fault of yours so that you can be a better, like the best version of yourself.
thank God you were going to marry a therapist. That's so great.
Right?
He was trained in that. And
yep. The answer to all my problems just showed up to fix me.
Did you know that only 8% of new resolutions survive the whole year? Those are long odds for a lot of important goals, like, say, eating healthier. This year, you deserve a little help in the healthy eating resolution department. And that's why there's Kenco. Kenco makes serious nutritious smoothies for seriously busy people. Expensive store-bought smoothies are sugar-packed calorie bombs, and fresh-pressed juices have way less fiber. Kenco's breakfast smoothies are only made from organic whole fruits and vegetables, flash frozen and slow dried to lock in all the fiber and nutrients. Nothing added and no fiber taken out. Kenco smoothies are easy to make, no blender, juicer, or kitchen needed. Pour the Kenco packet into water or your favorite milk, shake it up, and take on the day. Go to Kenco.com, take their quick nutrition quiz, and fill your flexible monthly order with your choice of 15 functional flavors that match your goals and taste. Each Kenco smoothie costs less than $3 and packs half the daily fruits and vegetables you need to reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and some cancers. I love their crimson smoothie with acai, berry, banana, strawberry, mango, chia seeds, and cinnamon. And I've been taking a packet with me on my long hikes. I've gotten super into these hikes recently, and it's just so easy to take my Kenco smoothie, just shake it up real quick on the go, and power through the second leg of the hike. I love Kenco. I use it almost every day, and you should too. Start creating healthy habits right now. Go to Kenco.com/BeHere. Pick out your flexible monthly plan, and the first 100 listeners will get 25% off your first order. That's Kenco.com/BeHere and get 25% off, but only if you're one of the first 100 listeners. So that's Kenco.com. That's Kenco.com/BeHere, BeHere. And you love this show, we love you, so get this special deal. 25% off for the first 100 listeners at KENCKO.com/BeHere.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would just slowly wean her off of texting me. And I had this plan in my mind where I'm like, okay, I'm just going to stop responding after a while. I don't have to be her text friend for forever.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, my fiance's was like, or they were finishing up. They had finally finished the adoption process of this little girl. And he's like, you've got to see this girl. She's gorgeous. And he sends me this screenshot from a FaceTime that he had with them. And she's asleep in her bed. And she is this beautiful, just like flawless little black baby. And he is like, you can tell, you know, when you FaceTime and his little, like his screen is kind of at the bottom right. And she, like the baby took up the full screen. It was kind of pixely because obviously they're a long ways away, but you could see him like kind of smiling like, oh my gosh, you know, she's so cute. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, she's beautiful. Oh my gosh, congratulations. Yeah. And there was some tension there. And I kind of like put up a wall and made some distance because I just thought my mom is freaking out. It's her first, you know, she's never had a kid get married before. First time, you know, just a little bit too emotionally involved and reading way far into his change of behavior. And in my mind, I knew he had changed, but I had reasons for it. And he had given me plenty. He's stressed. There's a lot going on at work. I wasn't seeing him nearly as much, you know, whatever. And so we're having the bachelorette party was going to happen on a Saturday. Well, the Friday before, literally the day before, I find out that my mom had asked my boss's wife, because my boss and his wife were like second set of parents to me. We're really, really close. Mm-hmm. She asked my boss's wife if she would go to lunch with her because she wanted to talk to her. Well, I knew that my mom was trying to get in, and like, so she had tried to talk to me, tried to take me to lunch, and I just put up a wall. I was like, no, I'm planning my wedding. Stop. Like, just stay out of this and calm down. Well, when I found out that she had asked my boss's wife to go to lunch because she needed to kind of get in somehow, I was like justifiably really upset.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what was going on. And I thought that she was getting way too involved. So after that lunch, my boss's wife sat me down in the back room at work and said, I just, you know, she told me she just finished meeting up with my mom, and I started to kind of roll my eyes. I was so mad. And she goes, no, look at me. And she gave, like, when that woman sits down and gives you the talk, she will put the fear of God in anybody. And she just said, your mom told me some red flags and asked me, as a mom who has had daughters get married, is this something that I'm overreacting to, or should I pay attention to this? And so my boss's wife looked at me and said, once she told me everything, I said, you pay attention to this. This is not okay. And then she said, I've, you know, she's known me a long time. And she said, the foundations of who you are has changed. And the person that you marry should enhance what makes you you and not, you know, change that kind of thing. And so she just pulled some things out. And I really, like, I sat down, I was like, oh shit, like she's got a point. But also at the same time, I thought, they just don't get it. Well, this will all make sense after the wedding. We'll just let everyone stressed, you know, tensions are high right now. Let's just get past the wedding. So,
and you're only like a week out or so from the wedding, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of probably a little bit of like, I'm already in it. I got to do this.
Yeah. And these, and to me, these are small fish. Like, I feel fine. I don't feel like a shell of myself, guys. Thanks for your concern. I'm just kind of tired because I've planned a wedding in 90 days all by myself with next to no budget, you know? So of course I'm kind of tired and a little bit out of it. And everyone's saying, but you should be happy. You should be on cloud nine right now. And I'm like, yeah, I am happy, but I'm also tired. I didn't know. I didn't put everything together. So the next day is the bachelorette party. And it ended at my parents' house because that's kind of the central location everyone had met just for like convenience sake. And I'm starting to leave to head back to SAC. And my parents asked me to stay behind. And I'm just like, for the love, like, would you give me a freaking break? Stop with all the conversations. And that's when they sit me down and said, we feel sick and we don't know why we feel like something is missing. We just ask that you postpone, just push things out a little bit. And I start looking at them like, I can't, I'm out. I need to leave. Like, we're not having this conversation. You wait till 8 days, just out. Like, no, because the wedding was in 8 days. And I didn't think they were fully serious until both parents kind of chimed in. Cause I think it was like my dad or mom that started. And then when my dad, no, it was my mom that started the conversation. When my dad chimed in, who's much more, my mom, you know, is very not emotional, but you know, she feels much more strongly. My dad sometimes will kind of stay out of things until the very last minute. So when he speaks up, that's when everybody kind of pays attention. So my mom led the conversation, but when my dad was like, yeah, I'm in agreement, we just need more time around. And that's when I just went, okay, shoot, whether or not they're right, this sounds dumb, but I don't want to finally have my wedding and have a wedding where none of my friends or family want to be there.
Yeah. So that would be horrible. Anything,
yeah, it sucked.
Yeah.
So I'm like, even if I feel that everyone else is just overreacting and, you know, off on a different planet somewhere, now I have to postpone this wedding until everyone figures, like, gets to know him the way that I know him. So that then I can have a fun wedding. Thanks a lot, guys. So my dad's like, you know, the men in my family are really close. They go on trips together. They have like the men's trip and then we have the women's trip and we camp a lot and stuff like that. So was just like, it's super fun. Everyone, we have a big family. So my dad's like, we haven't even had enough time for him to go on the guys trip and to go camping and let him, you know, go to the beach with us. We just let him have some time around the guys. And I'm like, that will happen. You guys gave me your blessing. So why are you taking it back now? You know, 8 days out. So I left my parents' house basically saying, you guys better be right. Like, this better be based on something. Cause I am going to go and postpone this wedding. Went out to SAC, you know, had the conversation with him. That was pure hell. And he was just like head in his hands going, we have to call my family. We have to call and tell them they've already got flights booked. He said, and that's when he was like, oh my God, the honeymoon. He had this whole honeymoon booked for us. So he says, I didn't know anything about it. Cause he was like, you take the wedding, I'll take the honeymoon. I'm like, okay, cool. And that night around like midnight, Kimmy's texting me going, okay, what's up? Something's wrong. Brian is having to talk your fiance off a ledge. And they would call him Bubba. Just to like add another, just make this even better.
Yeah.
I remember her saying, Brian is talking Bubba off a ledge right now. And something kind of went off in me. Cause I'm like, why are you calling him Bubba? He calls like family members of his Bubba, and his, I think his uncle calls him, I don't know, Bubba or something like that. And I'm just like, oh, you guys are all ew. Like at this point you're way too intertwined. That's a nickname that he uses. And plus I don't like it anyway. And I kind of was done with her. And this is the first time where I just got firm and went, don't talk to me. Cause I'm not sleeping. I just postponed my wedding. I feel like shit. I want to die right now and crawl into a hole and never come out. So just leave me the frick alone. And I said, not right now. And then the next morning I'm at home and I'm still like, I hadn't slept a wink all night. And she's texting me going, what's going on? Finally, she got to the point where she said, I need you to tell me what's going on because surprise, Brian and I had already booked tickets. We were going to surprise you guys and fly out and show up at your wedding. So if something is jeopardizing the wedding, you need to tell me right now. And part of me, even in the moment, thought you were going to show up at my 100-seat wedding. What if I didn't have a plate for you, bitch? You don't just show up at a small wedding. Surprise. You know, I was budgeting every dollar, but okay. And now I feel bad. And so I told her hash it out with, my fiance, I can't talk to you right now. So at that point, my roommate comes in and I said, can you talk for a second? Obviously, I was not okay. I think I was wearing one of his big t-shirts and I just hadn't slept all night. I'm sitting on the floor. So she sits down with me and I said, now is the time to be honest with me. Have you ever seen any red flags? Do you feel that we're a good match? Is there something that I'm just not seeing here? And she looked like a deer in headlights and she was just like, oh no. And she was super neutral and very diplomatic. And she just said, I see how happy he makes you. She knew me really well and we were really close. And she's like, I see how happy he makes you. I mean, he's got a big personality, but no, I don't see anything bad or wrong. So we're going back and forth, right? Well, my other roommate comes in. Now my other roommate, I wasn't as close to. Mm-hmm. So my fiance hadn't put a lot of effort into charming her. And she had only seen a couple of interactions at our apartment where he just totally blew her off. Mm-hmm. So she saw right through him. She walked in and I asked her that question. She's like, oh, I'll tell you.
And you said she's very no nonsense. That's what you said. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, she's also got a big personality. And so I think they kind of read each other right off the bat and was just like, oh yeah, I have your number kind of thing. And she is very point blank. So she was just like, yeah, no, your fiance is kind of a jackass, to be honest. And she just said, maybe not to you or your immediate family, but to me, he was a jerk. And in that moment, my phone's going off because Kimmy's still trying to get me to talk to her. And it's that roommate that I'm not super close to that is, she's fed up with Kimmy. And she's the one who said, have you ever actually talked to her? And I'm going, no. And I'm thinking, this is a side issue. Let's not go there right now. And she stops and she goes, no, Sarah, have you heard her voice? And I'm looking at her like, what conversation are you wanting to have right now? This is not the issue. We all kind of go quiet for a second. And then it sinks into me what she's insinuating. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of sit there and she goes, can you call her right now? And I'm thinking, holy shit. What, I've never actually heard her voice. And she said, ask her to FaceTime you. Have you actually FaceTimed her? And I'm going, no, but he has. She goes, but have you? And she wouldn't let it go. So you could just imagine that moment where I'm thinking, I'm already reeling. But if this reality, if this possibility is real, I'm just going to straight pass out. I can't handle reality right now anymore. Everything is just splitting apart. So yeah. I don't remember if I tried to call her before I asked. I started texting conversation. I said, hey, before we go any further, can you just send me a picture, a selfie? And she's going, huh? Why? And I'm going, can you just send me a selfie? So she sends me a picture and it's one I've already seen before. And I said, no, can you send me a new one? And my roommate's going, ask her to throw up a peace sign, a selfie with a peace sign. So I asked her and she's like, that's ridiculous. Why are you asking me this? And she's like, I'm at dinner right now. She goes, here's me at dinner. And it's kind of a different setting, slightly different look, makeup and hair. And I start going, wait, that's not the same day. That doesn't look like the same look as the other picture she sent me. It's new one I haven't seen. And then I'm like, no, I need one with a selfie with a peace sign. She's like, here's Brian and me on our wedding day. Here's it, and as this is starting to roll out, I want to throw up. I can't see straight. I'm getting dizzy. I'm just going, oh my God. Oh my God. And she's saying things like, this is insane sauce. And what else did she say? Are you trying to get me to prove I'm, she kind of played the whole, I'm offended kind of card. And I'm like, well, at this point, it really doesn't matter. If I said something I just need one thing from you. And if you really care about your friend as much as you've said you do all these months, you'll do this one stupid thing for his crazy fiance. You'll send a selfie with a peace sign. That's all I'm asking of you. And I'll explain later. And the fact that she couldn't do that, it just started sinking in. And then the girls were like, my roommates were like, call her. And for some reason I'm thinking, I can't. I don't know why. I was thinking I couldn't. So I tried to call her and we're sitting there and I think it said this number isn't accepting calls right now or something like that. And we're going, oh my gosh. So as we're sitting there processing that, she calls me back and I'm holding the phone and it's ringing and we're all sitting there. And to this day, that's my biggest regret is I never answered it. I didn't pick it up and I don't want to know why I didn't. I don't know what I was expecting or what would have been on the other end, but I just couldn't bring myself to answer it. I was petrified. I let it just ring out and it stops and I'm waiting to hear the voicemail because I'm like, she's got to leave a voicemail. But then I get a text and it says something like, hey, sweetheart, or hey, babe, or hey, sweetie, or something. Your voicemail's not set up yet. And I went, no, I had just bought a new phone because we were getting married. I changed my plan, blah, blah, blah. I hadn't set my freaking voicemail up yet. So I didn't have a voicemail from her. I'm just like, duh. So it was, then everything goes silent. And I said, I'm not going to talk to her until I get the picture that I'm asking for. Okay. So everything goes silent. My one roommate, the one I'm not like as close with, has to go to church, I think, or she left. And my other roommate's sticking around. Because now at this point, I think we just didn't feel safe. And I knew that my fiance was like 10 minutes down the road in a different neighborhood. And 15 minutes goes by and suddenly he calls me. And it's just a really awkward conversation. I'm really quiet. He's like, hey, what's up? And I go, I'm like, well, nothing much. I'm just not telling him what's going on because I'm still in limbo with Kimmy over here waiting for the selfie that hasn't come. And the phone calls, that didn't pan out. And he goes, so what is everything okay? Are you talking like, and I said, oh, I'm just waiting for something from Kimmy. And he goes, okay. So you can tell he's calculating and I'm letting my roommate listen to this cause it's on speakerphone. Oh, they were both still there for this. Cause it was the one that I wasn't super close with. That was very straightforward. She's going, he's thinking, he's calculating, he's lying. This is why he's going really quiet for a long time and acting really awkward. He's trying to formulate a plan. And I'm going, I'm like, shh, I know, like holding the phone away. And he goes, so what is it exactly that you need from them? And I said, oh, she knows. And he goes, okay, so what's going to happen if you don't get what you need from them or if they can't provide it? And I went, well, we'll have to cross that bridge when we get there, won't we, babe? And he goes, oh, okay, so, well, and I'm like, so what you been up to? And he goes, oh, I've just been, spending the morning in worship and in my Bible and in prayer.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Which of course he was.
Oh, yeah.
Just drawing closer to the Lord.
Yeah.
In his spare time.
Yeah, honestly. He's with his brothers in faith.
Oh God. Yes. Fellowshipping. And he did say, I said, so why did you call? I'm thinking it's an awfully, coincidental time for you to call right in the middle as shit's going down with Kimmy. And he goes, well, my timer just went off because we had a dance lesson for our first, for our wedding dance. Mm-hmm. And it was in like a half hour. And he goes, well, I was just so distracted in my time of worship and in the Bible that I lost track of time. And then my timer went off and realized it was, close to time to go to the dance lesson. So, are you going? Like, what's the plan? And he kind of put it back on me. Like, are you going to let me take you to this? Are we going to this? Or are you going to cancel it? And I'm like, I think we should call it off for now until I figure some things out, with Kimmy. That was the phone call. So obviously now we know at this point, we don't have proof, but we know. And it's kind of like, crap, all hands on deck. What do we do now?
Yeah.
Honestly, the rest of that day is a little bit of a blur because once that news got to my family, they were just like, oh, hell no. This guy is, who knows? Now he could be anything. And they had to act as if he's the worst of the worst because everything that we have believed has been a lie and he could be dangerous. And my family is also super aware that he was really proud of the guns that he owned. And one of the first, FaceTimes that he and I had, he pulled up his, I'm pretty sure it was an AR-15 and he was like really like proud of it. Yeah. And my family was just like, okay, like no more messing around. And
they're not crazy to go to that. I mean, the stranger things have happened,
Yeah. Well, and I also grew up like my mom loved true crime shows. She was the one that was up late watching 60 Minutes and America's Most Wanted. Mm-hmm. And like what's that old detective show, Columbo. She loves that stuff. So, I'm sure my mom is flipping out. She's seeing the writing on the wall. And my dad also highly protective, and all of my, you know, my uncles and my cousins, everyone's just like, we've got to come to Sarah's rescue right now. Because, and looking back now, I see why they reacted the way they did, because they already thought he was an asshole and they didn't trust him. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. So now their suspicions are getting confirmed. And all they know is that this guy's been lying. He has guns. We already hate him. We don't trust him. This is just bad. This is bad. So I think I'm probably going to mess up some of these details, but I was calling or FaceTiming my family, and they were saying, play it, like, do whatever you have to do, but break up with him. Don't just postpone, break up, and we're going to come and we're going to get your stuff out of that house. Cause I had already moved most of my stuff into our new house. And I'm kind of thinking, no, let's not like drop a bomb on him, because we don't know how he's going to respond. Now we don't know him anymore. So I want him to think that everything is fine as long as possible until I'm safe. And then we can, you know, go from there. So I FaceTimed him with the intent of just saying like, hey, we're going to postpone things. Meanwhile, all afternoon, he is messaging me with all of these plans he's putting into place to like redeem himself. Whatever, because now it's pretty clear that he still hasn't given me a full confession, but he knows that I'm wanting to postpone. Mm-hmm. And he knows that for some reason he's messed up. So now he's telling me, I'm going to get into an accountability group. I'm going to get a mentor. I'm going to go to counseling. I'm going to listen to all these biblical podcasts and take notes. And he invited me to this like shared iPhone note thing where he would share it so that I could see all of his like Bible study notes every day and his like intentional to-do list of, I don't know, self-improvement. It was so intense and so over the top. I was just like, ew, stop, stop. And by now I saw through it.
Yeah.
And was just like, wow, he's becoming unhinged is kind of what it felt like. He just freaked out, flipped to the opposite end and was like, I'm going to set up a weekly lunch date with your parents. I'm going to, you know, and I was just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So he kind of started to show, he was spinning out really and just like showing his cards just by the way that he was freaking out. So I'm telling my parents this and they're like, F it. We're getting you out. Don't play the whole, you know, we're just gonna take a break thing. Cut it off. It's late at night and my family is coming out to town and I have my fiance on FaceTime and I'm telling him, okay, we're not just postponing this. We're actually like gonna break up. Mm-hmm. And side note, my family is on their way right now. When that conversation went down, his tone changed. His face just went flat, like no emotion. And it became a business transaction. And that freaked me out. We have the whole thing on video. My sister threw her phone on my bed to get like to catch the whole thing. Hilarious. And she and my roommates hid behind my bedroom door, like cracked open. So there's like three heads, you know, stacked on top of each other, watching the whole thing. And my ex was just like, okay, so is this the way it's going to go down? Let me know right now because I have some phone calls I need to make. Like, let's get this ball rolling kind of thing. Cause if I'm going to like cancel some things and move, I've got a lot of work to do. So can you just tell me like what we're doing? And that's when I was like, yeah, I guess we're breaking up. And then he said the most like disgusting thing. He's like, so how are we doing this? Are we going to, you know, not follow each other on social media kind of thing? It was just really creepy. And I went, I don't think that'd be a good idea. And he goes, oh, come on. You don't want your ex, you know, boyfriend watching you on new dates, or your ex fiance watching you go on new dates with your new, you know, boyfriend. I'm like, no, you know, I don't think so. He was actually kind of annoyed at that. He goes, oh, that's fucked up. And I went, you know, what's fucked up the last 9 months of my life. And his reaction was, oh yeah. Like, good point. So,
oh my God.
My sister, I think, and I like get in my car and we drive to our house at the same time that my dad and my mom, I think, show up. Before we got there, my two cousins, my dad had called one of my cousins and said, hey, we need you at this address at this time. My cousin didn't even like, he was just like, where and when? And should I bring, my other cousin is a cop. He goes, should I bring, you know, so-and-so, should we be packing? My dad's like, yeah. That was it. That's all he needed to say. I'm pretty sure they showed up.
What an awesome family.
In all black, for all I know. Yeah, they were amazing. So when we get to the house, you know, they had already been staking the place out. They've been watching just to make sure. They were looking in the windows thinking, what's this guy preparing? You know, mm-hmm. My ex knows we're coming. He knows I'm going to be there. They know he has guns. So they're just like, is this going to be a hold up, you know, hostage situation, or is this going to go well? And they said something like, he's at the table drinking up a glass of milk. He must be a sociopath or a psychopath or something like that. And
yeah, that is a weird move.
It was really casual.
Yeah.
Weird. And he just kind of like stood off to the side while we just filed in and got all my stuff. And then on the way out, he tried to give everyone hugs goodbye. And he insisted on giving me a hug. And I walk up, you know, to the door. And my mom like comes running from nowhere, just like this guard dog. And she's tiny and she tries to shove herself in between the two of us. And I'm thinking, at this point, mom, like, let's just let it go. I think it's gonna be fine. And she wouldn't let him, you know, be alone with me. And so I remember he gave me a hug and in my ear, he whispered, "You're making a huge mistake." And I just backed up and I didn't change my face so that my mom wouldn't freak out over anything he'd said. And I'm leaving and he goes to try to shake my dad's hand and he's insisting on it. And my dad like, just like backs up and he points his hand and all, the whole family talks about this now. He points his finger at him and all he says is, "No, get help, get help." He turns and just walks away. And my sister and I were like, "Oh," because my ex is a big guy. He's well over 6 feet. You know, he's intimidating. And my dad was just pointing right in his face, was not having it. Just get help.
Fucking love it.
And there
it.
Was so much packed into that little phrase. So after that, it was like the next, I think, 2 weeks, he was packing up. No, he went away on like some work trip. He left his dog. I didn't even get to the part.
It's okay.
With, you know, my dog, but he left his dog there just in the backyard in the freezing cold. It's winter. The dog was shaved, like buzzed down to the skin. So he's gone. And my mom and I just out of like desperation, like went and checked on this dog and took care of it while he was gone. And then he moved back to Colorado. And he continued to lie. I was trying to get people's money back. They had donated to our honeymoon fund, mm-hmm. like activities and stuff, but he was in charge of the honeymoon fund. So he kept saying, "Yeah, I'll get people's, I'll ask the website," it was the Knot, I think, "to get the money back so that we can refund people." And 3 weeks goes by and it's just not happening. And I finally, I don't know why it took me so long to wake up and realize, oh, if he lied about other stuff, he's lying about this. So I contacted the Knot myself and I had the refund within 24 hours and gave it back to everybody. And he had some, you know, bullshit line the whole time. And I'm thinking, okay, there's who else, you know, who knows what else this guy's done. I did not get a confession from him until mid to late June, I think. Mm-hmm. And we broke up on May, I don't know, like, I think it was 8 days before our wedding. So May 12th, I think it was. And so mid to late June, when I called him out for lying about the refunds, mm-hmm. it was almost like he had to have the upper hand. And he was almost just like, "No, like you're not even right about that. Here is what happened." And that's when he officially said Brian and Kimmy Powers were not, and Kimmy Powers' full name was Kimberly Jane Powers. Just want to put, you know, want to make it known the effort that he went to, were not real. They were created out of basically desperation and how broken he is and the need to have this and that. And, you know, he's such a victim. And there were other things that he was keeping from me. He didn't tell me how broke he was, that he was living paycheck to paycheck, pretty much because it was my fault, because he was trying to maintain, you know, my lifestyle and just a whole bunch of stuff that he had been doing I think there was alcoholism in there, which he had told me all the time, you know, that I drank too much wine, which I might have a glass every couple of weeks. Like I can give or take, and I don't have to have it. And he would be the one who would say, "We're going to be a wine-free household." And then I'd come home and there'd be 3 new bottles of wine, you know, on the counter. Okay. So, surprise, he had an alcohol problem and a substance abuse problem. I found out later, after telling the story to Tiffany, after the podcast came out and more people were listening to it, more girls started to reach out to me because they were comparing timelines. And I found out that while he and I were shopping for rings in San Francisco, a girl that lived in Redding was dating him and they were meeting in San Francisco around the same time. And he would be in Sacramento on certain dates saying, "Hey, let's hang out." And it would be only during the day, only a certain time. You know, he was never free in the evenings or weekends, which makes sense because I was at work and he was at my place, in fact, waiting for me to get home. So he wanted to meet up with this girl, you know, during this certain window. And he was taking Provigil, which I guess is a medication for people that have narcolepsy. It helps them, you know, to stay awake. But I guess it can really have it kind of a negative effect on you if you don't need it. I think it's kind of like taking, what is it, like Ritalin or something, where it's an upper. So he would be up all hours of the night sending dick pics to this girl, which wasn't really a part of our relationship. He wasn't like that with me. So he must have been like getting,
He changes for different people because you were like, I mean, not that saying that this girl wasn't like the good girl, but like, I mean, but you were his, or going to be his fiance at the time, or maybe you were at the time, who knows, but like.
Who knows? Yeah. I mean, I know that there was at least that one, if not two girls that he was talking to while we were together, and one while we were engaged, but then his ex-fiance that he had been engaged to before me, he had still been like telling her he was going to marry her even after like he and I were together. And she, when we compared timelines later, it was when he started flying me around places that he stopped reaching out to her, and she had been still kind of emotionally attached. So she was like, I'm sorry, but I'll be honest. I did kind of blow up his phone. I was like, where are you? Are you okay? Cause she thought he was dying from cancer. Side note, he never had it.
Yeah.
But
that was the lie he told her. And then when you guys connected, you figured that out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And come to find out, he had still like celebrated her birthday in September, but he and I met in August and we were already, you know, serious just a couple weeks in. So by, you know, September, he was a busy guy.
Yeah.
And October, November, he's dating this other girl out in Reading, and December still dating her while we're shopping for rings and he's having one custom made. And he's also, you know, being Kimmy and Brian at the same time. And I had even sent Kimmy photos of my wedding dress. And thinking back, you know, it was Brian that was feeding me all those phone numbers. So my ex had to fake his entire reaction to his 30th, like, birthday surprise, all
he
of that
planned
stuff
on his own, basically.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, he told me what so birthday present, like, yeah, just insane.
Well, I want to wrap it up with, like, where you're at now. Like, you know, because you obviously seem very okay, despite the fact that this guy did some shitty things to you, but like he didn't win, obviously. So like, I guess I want to just ask you a few questions about you. Like, you know, now it's been like two years or wait, yeah, about 2 years.
It'll be three actually now in spring. Yeah. Cause it was 2018. It was May of 2018 that we broke up. So 2.5 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, how long did it take you to feel maybe, normal again, not just like, oh my God, this crazy thing happened? And did it help to talk to people, like go on the podcast? Because I know that was only like 10 weeks after.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I was really glad that I did it, the timeline that I did it, because I was not okay for a while, but I didn't know it. You know, there were days that I knew, okay, I'm messed up. This is not okay. And then there were times where I'm like, I'm fine. Telling the podcast really soon was extremely cathartic. In ways I didn't even think about the long-term ramifications. You know, it didn't occur to me that years from now, when my life is back to normal, this is still going to be, you know, this story is going to be following me and him, you know?
Yeah.
So but sorry.
It's, you're helping a lot of people, honestly.
And that's really, now I'm like, that makes it feel so much worth it. Even though it was relatively short-lived, you know, it went, I know that people have been through so much worse, but it went pretty deep. And it was, I think, a year before I felt like I had some sense of like footing and like control of my own life. And I wasn't petrified of losing that control again. I did, you know, I jumped right into counseling and then somehow being super open about my story. I'm glad I didn't wait, because if I had waited, I think I would have just locked it away and never told it like I did.
Totally.
But it was still so fresh that it was just kind of like I still couldn't believe that it had happened. So I was very ready to just dump it all out. Cause I was just like, can you believe it? And the shame and embarrassment didn't really hit till later, where I was like, oh, maybe I should have been smarter than this. Oh, I feel like an idiot. And then the anger hit of like what he actually did. And now, you know, a year and a half later, you know, the anger phase is hitting me of going, well, shit, now I'm going to have to deal with this baggage in my future relationship. Like the stuff that this guy did isn't just temporary. This is stuff I'm going to have to work through for a long time, you know, F you,
yeah.
You know, and it wasn't until like, I think 2 years later that I was even open to the idea that I might date again. Like I always knew in my head, yeah, I guess one day I'll date again, but that is just like far off and not real or tangible. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't even until like last August. So like 2.5 years. That I even tried actually dating again. It just wasn't appealing. Yeah. But I think counseling and being very open to processing it really helped, and a lot of like journaling and kind of being patient with it looking messier than I would have liked. You know, I just kind of wanted to put a little, you know, bow on and be like, okay, yeah, trauma. Let's just,
yeah,
let's go through whatever formula we need to go through to, you know, fix the trauma and then just be done so we can move on. And it doesn't work like that.
I think it's really healthy that you just sort of kind of dumped it out early on and didn't wrap it up in a bow of like, this is just trauma that I just bury, because then you're never going to fully heal from it. You know, like it's, I think it's just really healthy to just be like, and be like unashamed of like, yeah, I am kind of embarrassed that I let myself be in that situation, but it's not my fault. I got tricked, and you know, it's not your fault at all. And I think it's really cool that you spoke about it on Tiffany's podcast and you're doing it now. I really think that, you know, you're helping a lot of people. And so you're dating again.
Yeah.
I mean, but you're open to it. Like, do you still feel like the, you know, is it hard for you to trust?
In certain ways, yeah. It's kind of hard for me to trust myself, but my boss happens to also be an amazing therapist, which is really helpful. And so she's helped me realize a couple things. She was like, but look back. She goes, your gut was telling you. And I went, oh my gosh, you're right. You're right. I just didn't know how to interpret it. And she's like, oh, you knew all along. And now you have a language for what that feeling was. Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. And I was about to go on a date, you know, a couple months ago, and I was kind of processing and very much in my head. And she was like, no more worst case scenario. Just don't worst case scenario anything. Go into it, you know, eyes open, go into it best case scenario, but eyes open and trust yourself. Yeah. And then I would say, well, I just want to make sure I do things differently this time. I want to make sure that, you know, I have a lot of like friends around him and family, and I want people to, you know, and she's like, whoa, 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 stop. Number one, you're already doing things differently. Let's be real. You're never going to do it the same way again.
Totally.
You learned that lesson. And I went, oh yeah, you're right. And she said, in second, be careful. Don't give your decision-making power away to other people. You did that last time and you ignored your gut. I went, oh my gosh, she was so right. Last time my gut was telling me something was wrong, but because other people were also going, wow, and they were all Twitter-pated by him, I shelved my questions and just went for it. So she helped me, like really trust myself.
Yeah. Again. And I think, it's probably not going to happen, and you won't be as swept off your feet. Like, in terms of like, I feel like the people I've encountered that were bad, it was like really bad, well, bad. And then like the last like bad dude I dated before I ended up with like a long-term friend is actually who I'm with now. That is lovely. I mean, he's annoying as hell, but he's lovely. But it was like by the last time that I interacted with a bad guy, we dated for like 6 months. He was a cheater, but I could have seen that from a mile away. It mattered for about 2 days. Like afterwards, like I think you bounce back quicker. You're just like, fuck. That was almost hilarious.
I didn't see that coming.
Okay. You know, it's like, now,
once you see the pattern, you're like, oh, I could see him from a mile away.
Exactly. Like, I'm not shocked. Damn it. I mean, I didn't want to call it too soon, but I knew.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes you kind of have to walk some things out a little bit just to tell yourself, okay, yep. I was right. And looking back, it helped me understand past guys that I've had run-ins with way back that I didn't know why they made me feel uncomfortable, why they wouldn't go away, you know, things like that. And I'm going, oh, that's why. And so now that, you know, I recognize it, it's so much clearer, but I am having to just accept the fact that the next guy I'm with is going to have to be kind of patient, and he's just going to have to recognize that I'm going to have some things to work through. And I kind of wanted to be that strong, like, I'm not going to need a healthy relationship in order to fully heal. You know, I can be whole, you know, on my own, but a lot of really strong women that I look up to are like, no, allow a healthy relationship to heal. Like, there's certain parts that are just not going to heal until you're in something that is right.
Cause you won't know what that looks like until you're in it. Yeah. You know, can feel healthy on your own, which you seem incredibly healthy as like a person, but like, you won't know what that feels like until you're in, you know? Yeah.
There are still some areas that I know that I'm going to, you know, be in my head and be freaking out. You know, I can still be a pretty functional, you know, level-headed human, but there are certain compartments that I have, you know, like closed off. And so when that gets opened up as a result of a relationship, I'm going to have to face some things that I just haven't had to.
Yeah.
But I'm finally now like okay with that. And I don't see his face in every guy that I talk to, which is nice.
Well, that's good. That's good. Is there anything you want to like promote, like your blog, and anything you're working on that you want to?
Well, I know I said like in Tiffany's podcast that I planned on writing a book, and I did get started on that, but I realized it wasn't the time. So I kind of put that on hold for a little while. I really needed a lot more healing, you know, than I realized.
Yeah.
And I needed to be in a much better place by the time I sat down and relived everything and wrote a book. And I've always wanted to write one anyway. So now I'm at the point where I'm going to really start doing that. But my public Instagram, I started as a place to post about essential oils because I didn't want to bug the friends that already followed my private account. Well, when the podcast, you know, was coming out and Tiffany wanted to help direct people to a place to follow me, I was like, well, you know, I don't want to let the world into my private account, but I guess they can follow my public account, which also happens to be about oils. So it's kind of taken on a different life.
I love essential oils. That was...
I'm all about it. I totally drink Kool-Aid. There's a reason, but I don't want people to think that I'm, you know, I'm, I don't know, pitching some kind of snake oil or something. It just happens to be my public account that I also now post a lot of my life on and, you know, stuff with my pet and travels. Well, my previous travels before COVID, you know, stuff like that. So it's now a place where I kind of like, I share myself. I also happen to talk about oils. But it is where I'm going to talk, I'm going to like promote, hey guys, my book's coming out, you know, stuff like that. So I would just direct them to my Instagram, which is Space and Purpose.
Okay, perfect. I love that.
Named it way back for stuff I was going through. And now I'm like, well, I don't
actually think it's a beautiful name. I like it.
Thanks. I kind of needed to hear that actually.
No, I actually really like it. Thank you so much for doing this. Like, I really appreciate it. I think my listeners are going to love your story or learn a lot from it. It's not even love it, but I've even directed like some friends who've been going through like weird dating things and they're seeing red flags. I'm like, just listen to this season of this podcast. Please just listen to it. Ugh. And it's you're helping a lot of people. I think that that's important for you to know.
That is so, seriously, that is so redemptive. It just makes it all worth it. I'm like, okay, you know, if at least this crappy experience can be used, you know, in a good way, awesome. It's, you know, I feel so much better about it.